Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power! Hey, yeah. Good afternoon. Norway and the Philippines and England and South Africa and all the points in between. Hey gang, my name is Mac Newton and you have tuned in to the Power Hour. Let me run this by you. We got Aretha Franklin as our musical guest host today. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving. What's up, Eric?
What's up, man? Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, same to you. Are you ready for some turkey?
Oh, you betcha.
Always, man. You always betcha. Ready for some turkey. Give us some Aretha Franklin over there, Eric.
Here she comes.
You don't live up to be expected. And your true feelings you neglected.
Wow.
Don't worry about.
You just can't get tired of that voice, can you?
One of the greats.
One of the greats of all time. I mean, the queen. You say the queen of soul, but you're talking about the queen of soul, R&B, gospel, jazz, and, you know, recently she added opera to her repertoire. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yes. Yeah. Fabulous Natasha, did you know that Aretha Franklin can sing opera?
I know that.
You've seen that, huh?
She
is fabulous. Well, as you can see, gang, we do have the fabulous Natasha in studio with us again today. What up?
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah. It's, you know what? I love Turkey Day. Now, I'm not a really big fan of turkey, but later today, it's called the Deep Fried Turkey Experience for the Mac Daddy. Have you ever had that, Eric?
No, but a buddy of mine just did that, and he said it turned out great.
It's fabulous. You deep fry that turkey. It's tender. It's juicy. It is fabulous. Well, the Mac Daddy, being the cook that I am undertaking that right today. That's what we've got. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and welcome to the Power Hour. I hope you've had a great year. It has been a challenging year, but we still have a lot to be thankful for. And, of course, sitting here with me in the studio, of course, is the fabulous Natasha. I'm so thankful for her. She is absolutely one of the joys of my life.
Thank you. I'm very thankful for you, Mac.
And, of course, Eric is bringing a lot of joy to people all around the world. Eric, it was good to have you, too, and we're thankful that you're part of the program.
And right back at you. Good to be here.
All right. You know what, people? The Power Hour is expanding, gang. We got emails from Norway this week and the Philippines. Of course, I have to apologize for some reason that we've had some technical glitches that we still haven't resolved, and it seems like only half of the show is getting uploaded to the website. We're working on that, and hopefully we'll not have that problem this week, because there's not 1 minute of the Power Hour that we want you to miss. You know, I don't know how much you know about Aretha Franklin, but her father, Reverend Franklin, got her started. I mean, I think she started her recording career back in 1960. And she has recorded in the realm of R&B and jazz, and of course in gospel music. And her title, The Queen of Soul, is so richly developed. Our musical guest host, the fabulous Aretha Franklin. We'll talk about more of that later in the show, because I know as soon as we play something on the air on the show, Eric, what happens is people run out and start checking it out. You know, it happened with Lou Rawls, you know. And you know, it happened with Grover Washington Jr. And now it's gonna happen with Aretha. Everyone knows about Aretha Franklin, but I'm just reminding them of how great she is, you know. And you know what? She's not that old. She was only born in 1942. So we've got a lot of Aretha Franklin left to explore with us. We have a fabulous show on tap for you guys today. I don't know how it's possible we're going to get to all of it. I mean, being already, it is 6 minutes past the hour on Thanksgiving Day here, the 27th of November. Can you believe what a year has gone? Does it seem already like it's Thanksgiving already?
No way. No way.
I mean, it's just gone so fast.
Crazy year.
I mean, you know, Christmas is like less than a month away. Christmas decorations here in Phoenix have been up for 2 weeks already. You know, we've got two radio stations that are playing Christmas music 24/7. I mean, it's like we're being bombarded with it. By the time it gets here, I'll be sick of it. You know, we need to spread that out a little bit. What's your favorite Christmas movie, Eric? What's your favorite one?
You know, it's going to sound weird, but it's one called Bad Santa.
You know what? That's really a fun movie. Yeah. I've seen that. Yeah. That's a fun movie.
And it's not only really funny, but like really like sweet and sad at the
is.
Same time.
It is. It is. The little fat kid who gets picked on all the time, you know, and then Santa who's always drunk.
Yeah.
And his little midget. That's a good movie. You got to go check it out. Bad Santa. The fabulous Natasha, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
I think I like... Christmas Vacation.
Oh, with Chevy Chase.
Yes.
Chevy Chase.
That would be my favorite. And my second choice would be Christmas with Cranks.
Christmas with the Cranks. I agree with you on the first one. The Christmas with the Cranks is interesting. I've seen that too. But the Christmas Story is really a great one. You know, with the little kid with wants the BB gun, but you can't have it because it's going to shoot your eye out, you know? You know, so I really got to say, I think that the Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase, that is hilarious. That's a classic, man. That is a classic. Another interesting one, in case you haven't seen, is Scrooge with Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a good one?
Oh, yeah. I love Bill Murray.
Yeah, he is so funny. And he's in his element there. I mean, playing a smart aleck, you know, that is a great one.
He could just stand there.
Yeah.
And I'd laugh at him. Like, he's so funny.
Yeah, I think that's his best movie Groundhog Day, one of his best. Anyway, gang, we could go on and on. What is your favorite Christmas movie? Send us an email. Is it your Christmas movie and why? Maybe we'll share it on the air next week. Send it to 7, S-E-V-E-N, the number 7 spelled out, at macnewton.com. And tell us what's your favorite Christmas movie. And if we share it, your experience on the air, we'll send you a copy of my book, A Path to Power. Okay, there you have it. All right, so let's see what kind of responses we get as to what your Christmas movie and why you like it so much. Sometimes I ask that question and people can't think of it. And so I change it. I say, well, which one have you seen the most? That's your favorite. The one you've seen the most is your favorite. So there you have it. Got a great show on tap for you today. I just don't know where to start. So I guess we'll start with shout outs. And of course, we've got a shout out to Ray out there in Southern California. Hope you're listening, Ray. And also to Albert in South FLA. And we know Albert's listening because he's a regular and he's dedicated. And of course, Mark and Kim right here in Phoenix. Hope you guys are listening. And of course, to Nick and Heather and their two children up in Denver, and Tom and all the other guys up in Denver. It's probably snowing. It's snowing. Well, it's raining here. It's Thanksgiving and it's raining. And, you know, it doesn't rain in Phoenix very often at Thanksgiving time. In fact, according to the statistics, which I looked up this morning, it only rains in Phoenix once every 12 years on Thanksgiving Day. So for those of you when it rains on Thanksgiving every year, tough. It only rains in Phoenix once every 12 years on Thanksgiving Day. So, you know, I was just wondering when that phone was going to ring. So let me do something about the phone. I just looked at the phone and thought, you know, I don't know if I turned the phone off. Well, I just did. Okay. All right, there are my shout outs. And again, our email address is 7, the number 7 spelled out, S-E-V-E-N, at macnewton.com. We're going to pick up today right where we left off with last week, because that was really getting you guys going. And we're going to make a couple of changes to make sure that we get the entire show uploaded on site, because I'm going to tell you, that really made me feel bad when I heard that, because last week, I think we had our best show yet. Eric, what do you think? I think it was top.
No, it was a pretty good show.
Pretty good show. It was top. we barely got the other two done, and I think we did last week was smooth.
It was fabulous show.
Thank you, darling. Thank you.
I was being understated. It was amazing.
Oh, I tell you. Well, the fabulous Natasha is in the house. What are you having for Thanksgiving besides turkey, fabulous Natasha?
Oh, we'll have chocolate pie.
That's
what I'm excited for. I haven't had dessert in a year. Oh. That's my day.
Chocolate pie. You heard it there, right here first. Natasha's going to have turkey and chocolate pie. Anything else? Is that it? Just turkey?
No, we'll have more. Okay. We planned more than that, but that's what I remember. Chocolate pie.
Oh, man. We were talking about that there on the floor in class just a couple of days ago, and the ladies were all excited because they were thinking, chocolate pecan pie. That just sounds great for ladies. They love chocolate and they love pecans. There you have it. Oh, man. Don't you love the holiday season? I do, you know. I remember when I was a very young boy, being reminded by my great-grandma that I should always be grateful for all the good things that I had in my life, and not just on Thanksgiving. She made sure that I said grace before meals. You know, she made sure that I said my prayers before bed, and to be thankful for the food that I received, and for my good health, and to be thankful for my warm bed, and to be thankful for her, and for all the other things that I sometimes took for granted. And Thanksgiving at around our house was extremely important for great-grandma and I. It was a day when I was given a pencil and paper and was told to make a list of all the things that I was thankful for in my life. So I grew up thinking of Thanksgiving as a special day when people actually developed an attitude of gratitude and gave thanks for life and loves and health and abundance and all the other stuff that just makes life good. And it was only great grandma and I. So it, just because it's just you or you and one other doesn't make it any less special. Well, some years later, I was able to place that attitude of gratitude into a whole different perspective. In 1995, I met a wonderful lady named Mary Hook. Her hip replacement was not working, and she came to me to fix it. She'd seen me on television and read about me working with Neil Lomax in the newspaper, and she wanted me to fix her hip. Well, upon examination, I determined that I couldn't fix it. It had to be replaced again. She didn't want to revise the hip. She said she'd been through way too much pain getting it in the first place, and she didn't want to go through all that pain and inconvenience again. Well, long story short version, I was able to rehabilitate her hip, eliminate the pain, making further surgery unnecessary. Mary Hook was very, very thankful. I mean, beyond description. It's like she and her husband made me a member of the family, and they invited me to share Thanksgiving that year with them. Well, I accepted, and I spent every Thanksgiving with them for the next 5 years. Well, that first year, after the traditional meal had been served and everything put away, everyone was invited into the backyard and out into the grass, and we were standing in the sun, in the grass, in a large circle, holding hands. I had no idea what was coming. Everyone just stood silently for what seemed to me to be a very long time, and I was starting to feel a little awkward. And finally, a young girl spoke up and started listing all the things that she was thankful for in her life. It was very moving. And then, to my surprise, one after the other, each person in the circle started giving thanks for their blessings. I just stood there, believe it or not, I was actually moved to tears listening to the people and feeling the collective emotion that was building. Just listening to all of them, young people, old people, you know, just voicing their thanks for everyone to hear. It was very powerful. I had never done anything like that before, and I'd never experienced it. It was just so new to me. And then Mary Hook spoke. And in spite of all she'd been through that year, she was the most thankful of everyone there. But when she mentioned me as someone she was the most thankful for, I was just like I was yanked back through my life emotionally, through 25 years of pain. And I learned at that moment that being thankful has very healing characteristics, healing properties, if you like. A few moments later, I can't tell what I could hear my voice giving thanks for so many wonderful things in my life that I could now see and I could feel because I was no longer confused and focused on the things that were not working or had not worked in my life. Today, it appears that Thanksgiving is simply considered, you know, the holiday that signals the beginning of the Christmas holiday shopping season more than anything else. In addition, it's a day when we've given ourselves permission to be completely gluttonous with a clear conscience. They say, it's only one day, so how can that hurt? And some people spend the rest of the year trying to recover from the gluttony of that one day. But is this the true spirit of Thanksgiving? When people spend their time complaining that nothing's working for them, that there's never enough money, no one loves them, they've got rotten jobs and life is tough? You know, I don't really believe that it is. Without being thankful, it's as if people are magnetized to get more of the stuff that's not working. Thanksgiving is a blessing. It's a day that allows us to choose gratitude. As opposed to choosing failure and negative feelings, it gives us a chance to choose gratitude. Thanksgiving says, no matter what happens today, no matter what happens, choose gratitude. If everything goes your way, choose gratitude. If everything just falls apart, choose gratitude. That's what makes this day so special. So if for nothing else, choose to be thankful. Choose to have an attitude of gratitude about your life and see, even just with that, you will start attracting different things into your life. And basically, that's my feeling about Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful that great-grandma started me with a tradition of Thanksgiving, a tradition of being thankful, a tradition of no matter what's going on in my life, of feeling that good things can happen to me. I'm a good person in a good place. After all, gang, and hear me well on this, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. No matter what people are saying about our economy today, it's a reflection of the attitudes of the major players. If you keep yours positive, expect things to work out well, it'll grow as part of a collective mentality and a law change. This is all a temporary condition. And remember, never put permanent solutions to temporary conditions. If you remember to just put temporary solutions to temporary conditions, things will always work out better. Serious problems only arise when you put permanent solutions to temporary conditions. And as great-grandma always said to me, any problem that can be solved with money is not really a problem. Not at all. And if the only thing you ever lose in your life is money, then you haven't ever lost a thing. You want me to tell you what a problem is? I have a client who has a daughter who is 4 years old, who spent the last 63 days in hospital, just came home for the first time in 63 days, a four-year-old daughter who has a partially developed lymphatic system. That's a problem. I also have a friend who needs open heart surgery, but his immune system is too weak to tolerate the procedure. That's a problem. The things that can be solved with money are not problems. Sure, we may need more money, but that's not a problem. You know, I mean, all you have to do is come up with some goals like we're going to talk about later and find a way to generate more of it. Money is renewable. It's like trees, gang. You can get it back. Time and true love are far more valuable and important. Welcome aboard. My name is Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. It is now 20 minutes past the hour wherever you are, and I hope you're enjoying the show. Tell your friends about us right here every Thursday at 5 p.m. at www.macnewton.com, streaming live on the World Wide Web. We are continuing with our main topic, our seven-part mental exercises, the seven-part mental fitness program. I'm sure you remember that. We've only gone through two parts so far now, Eric. I mean, two parts completely, and we started a third. Just to review for a couple of you guys, the first and most important attitude that you can practice in our seven-part mental fitness program is future orientation. In other words, you have to be a visionary. You have to think into the future. You have to be able to see what's going to happen. all successful people, I mean, one of the most common characteristics of all successful people is that they have the ability to see the future as they want it to be in advance, and then they work to make that vision a reality in the present. Future orientation. We've talked about it on earlier shows. Number two, the second attitude of highly successful people is goal orientation. Being able to set important goals. Goal orientation. And I'm going to do a slight detour right here, Eric. And what I'm going to do is give people seven tips. And if you want to know why I love seven, seven is my lucky number. My rank, 7th degree black belt. All the numbers I wore as a high school athlete, and when I even played later on, number 7. So 7 is my number. So wherever I can, I like to give 7 tips. I'm going to give you 7 tips very quickly. 7 steps for goal setting. Because all successful people have an attitude of goal orientation. They are obsessive goal setters. Number 1. Decide exactly what you want in each area of your life. Most people never do this. Most people never decide what it is they want. They simply want things to stay the same but get better. That's not goal setting. That's not goal setting. Decide exactly what you want. In this area, you know, Natasha, in this area, clarity is absolutely essential, that you be clear. Decide exactly what you want. And number 2, write it down. Unless you write it down, then you're not serious. You are only wishing. You have to write it down clearly and very specifically. You have to make it measurable. You have to, okay, here's an example. I want to increase my income by 50% in the next 2 years. A goal that's not in writing is merely a fantasy. There's no energy behind it. You know, you have to write it down. Write your goal down clearly. I'm going to tell you what I hear most of the time when I say that to people. People say, well, I don't have to write my goals down. I know what they are. You know what they're saying to me? They're saying they either don't know what their goals are, or they're not important enough for them to write them down, or they don't even know how to set goals. So write the goal down. Number 3, set a deadline for that goal. Set a deadline for your goal. And if necessary, set little mini deadlines, you know? In other words, I want to double my income in a year. Okay, now that's a good goal, to double your income. That's a good goal for anyone to have, to double your income. Do you agree with that, Eric?
Absolutely.
No doubt about that. So in the meantime, you want to have certain sub deadlines. So you say, okay, I'm going to increase it by 10% by January 1st, or by March 1st. I'm going to increase it by 30% by 4th of July. So these are sub deadlines. So we got little mini deadlines along the way to help you along. Okay. 3 steps already. Number 1, decide exactly what you want. Number 2, write it down clearly. Number 3, you want to set a deadline. Number 4, make a list. Write down everything that you'll have to do to achieve the goal. Make a list of everything you'll have to do to achieve the goal. For example, if you want to double your income, what you're going to, you might say, well, what'll I have to do that? Well, gee whiz. Maybe I need to make more money. Well, how are you going to do that? Maybe I need to take a course. I need to increase my skills. I need to finish my degree. I need to go back to school. I need to improve my performance in some way. So you want to write down all the things that you have to do to achieve the goal. Now add to your list as you think of new things, as you think of new activities. Add to it, and that will keep you going. Keep adding to your list until it's complete. Number 5, organize your list into a workable plan. Decide what you need to do first, and then when, and then what you need to do later. In other words, organize it into a plan. Decide what must be done and in what order it must be done. Keep reworking your plan until it's complete. All right. Number six, take action. Now it's time for action, Jackson. Get started, do something. And now, of course, it's not complete. Of course, your plan's not complete. Of course, everything's not done. You're still coming up with new ideas, but it doesn't matter. You have to get started on it before it's done. You have to ready, fire, aim, so to speak. You can't wait till you dot all the I's or cross all the T's. It's time to get moving on it. It's amazing how many people fail because they don't take action on their goals and their plans. You must get started. Much like the show, Eric, we had not ironed out all the problems, as evident by some of the things that are going on right now, but we've got the show on the air. We're doing it. We're working out our mistakes as we move along. And you know what? People are still enjoying the show. And hopefully this week we'll have the entire thing up. And if we have other plans, other problems, we'll work those issues out as well. But you don't just sit and wait until you have all the things worked out. You get started. Action is an important key to bringing your goals into reality. And finally, number seven, resolve to do something every day that moves you toward your major goal, whatever it is at that moment. This principle, or this discipline, you might say, of doing something every day enables you to develop and maintain your momentum, to create the staying in line effect. It's like, okay, if let's say we stop doing the show until we work out all these things. Well, maybe we didn't fix it the first week or the second. You know what we do, Eric? We lose our momentum. And then all of a sudden, it just slides to the wayside. And before you know it, it's months before we get back. So rather than stop until we get it done, I said, let's do it anyway. Let's go anyway. So you say, are we going to go? Yeah, let's go. Now, it may not be perfect. So what? We maintain our momentum, and that allows us to keep working out all the bugs. And then finally, we'll be closer to our goal, which is having a fabulous show. Okay. Daily action increases your determination. It gives you energy. This single-minded resolution, daily action can turn your life around. Okay. Number three was what? It was the fact that all successful people who are engaging in our seven-part mental program, the third part was goal orientation. You must be goal-oriented. You must be. Okay, let's keep moving along. I don't want to get ourselves too far off base. Okay. Little deviation on number two. So number three on our list is excellence orientation. The third attitude for success, for great success, is an orientation of excellence. By definition, successful people are very good at what they do. You must also become very good at your job. Commit yourself to excellence in your work. You just simply resolve today to be in the top 10% in your field, no matter how much effort that takes, no matter how much sacrifice it takes, no matter how long it takes. Resolve to be in the top 10%. And not only that, but the top 3 to 5%, no matter what type of let's say, recession it is, what type of depression it is, they're immune to this. They are immune. So if you resolve to be in the top 10% in your field, no matter how much effort and sacrifice is necessary, if you get there, you're going to make yourself a great, great success. For many years, because of my limited background and the fact that I had low self-esteem because I was abandoned early in life, because my mom died, and you know the story has been well documented in my books, it just never occurred to me that I could be good at anything. And even if I did well occasionally, I would simply just dismiss it as a matter of luck or coincidence. I often felt like an imposter sometimes when people would congratulate me for doing something well. So by the time I was 28 then, about 28 years old, I had a revelation of sorts. It changed my life. Let me share it with you. Maybe it'll change yours. I found out that everyone in the top 5% of their field had to start somewhere. In other words, most of them were in the bottom 10% at some point in their life. I found out that everyone who was doing well today in any area at some point was doing very poorly by comparison. I also realized that everyone who is leading in their profession or occupation today, at this point in time, at one point in time, was not even in that profession, was not even in that occupation. That's amazing. And it is a revelation. When you think the top people, I don't care who you're talking about, Warren Buffett, you know, I don't think if you're talking about the top people in computers, in business, in sales, in medicine, in politics, at some point they weren't even in that field. So when you consider that. So in other words, life is like a buffet line, gang. It's self-serve. No one is going to bring it to you. You cannot sit at the table and bang your knife and your fork on the table and hopefully someone is going to service you. You have to get up, accept your responsibility, accept responsibility, and serve yourself. If you want to get to the front of the line, whether it's the buffet line or it's life itself, two things are necessary. It was amazing, Natasha, because I was talking to this. I did a talk the other day at the Grand Canyon State Games, and I said to them, "This talk was for the people who, the sponsors that helped put on this huge Olympic-like events for people in the state of Arizona. 380,000 have taken part in these Grand Canyon State Games over the last 14 years. And regardless of age, physical condition, I mean, they get a chance to take part in basketball and table tennis, martial arts, you know, road racing, whatever. And I said to them, two things are necessary to be successful. Get in line and stay in line. You begin your success process when you get in line, when you start doing what it takes to be successful, and you really take it to a higher level when you stay in line. Make a decision to be excellent at what you do that gets you in line. Make a decision to be really, really good at it. And from that moment on, do something every day to make yourself better. Second, stay in line. Don't make an attempt every once in a while at personal improvement and then go back and watch TV or go back to happy hour. Get in line, stay in line. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Learn and practice new things every single day. Keep moving forward. Never lose your momentum. The good news is that the buffet line of life never closes. It's open 24 hours a day. Anyone can get in line and stay in line. Anyone can decide to become the best in his or her field and then begin working toward that goal. Just a reminder here now for you, gang, that the Power Hour is brought to you by www.macnewton.com. It's 35 minutes past the hour, and you are listening to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. We meet every Thursday right here on your computer. I don't care where you are. Just turn on your computer. Go to www.macnewton.com with your laptop. Plug in that little thing. What do they call it, Natasha? That little thing that you plug in on the...
I don't know. I call it thingy.
The little thing that you plug in on the side of your computer that gives you broadband and internet connections. What do you call that thing, Eric? It's like one of these little cards. Are they computer cards? You know, these little thing that you plug in. And it's no matter where you are.
It's a thingy.
Natasha says, what is it, Natasha?
It's a thingy.
It's a computer thingy. It just, you plug this computer thingy into the side of your computer. And a little blue light comes on, or a green light, and all of a sudden you're able to get on the internet. You can sit down in your favorite little restaurant. You can sit down on your patio. You can go to the park, and you can listen to the Mac Daddy and the fabulous Natasha. You can listen to the Power Hour, and you don't have to wait just until Thursday. You can go online at www.macnewton.com, and you can download for to listen later, or you can just sit there and listen through your headphones at the Power Hour. www.macnewton.com. It should be the place that you go to become a winner, because that's where winners go. www.macnewton.com. Now, getting back to our topic, as I was saying, the good news is this: the buffet line of life never closes. It's open 24/7, 24 hours a day. Anyone who can get in line, and remember I said you get in line by deciding to become excellent at what you do, by deciding to be the best at what you do, and from that moment on, keep doing something every day to get better. That's how you get in line. Now, you stay in line by keep doing what you're doing. Now, no one or nothing but you can stop you from eventually getting to the front of the line. No one but you can stop you from joining that top 5% in your field. It's completely up to you. You could either be your own best friend, or you could be your worst enemy. It's up to you. It's up to you. You can either decide to be in the top 5%, you can decide to get in line and stay in line, or you could decide to spend your time at happy hour or in front of the television or just sitting around doing nothing. Most people, and here's a real key, most people are spending less time at work than ever before. I don't know if you've heard of this before, Eric, but it's very, very true. People are still getting paid for the same 40 hours, but according to recent statistics, that the actual time that people spend at work now is not 40 hours a week. It's now something like 34 hours a week. Time spent on break, at lunch, just sitting around on the internet, playing internet games, is reducing the productivity of the American workforce more and more every single day. It is amazing about that. So and all of those things, unfortunately, are non-productive. You don't make yourself better at break. You don't make yourself better at lunch. You don't make yourself better when you are spending time playing computer games. You don't make yourself better doing those things. But this is how a great percentage of the American workforce spends their time. And it seems that people feel entitled to those types of activities at work. So when you're doing those kind of things, you are your own worst enemy. Those are the decisions that winners don't make. When you become excellent at what you do, your life changes, your self-esteem, your self-respect, your personal pride all increase dramatically. And here's another point. You'll feel terrific about you. You'll be respected and admired by all the people around you. Now, here's a question. Being a winner, you've already made that decision, so you are one now. What one skill, if you developed and did it in an excellent fashion, would help you the most in your career? What one thing? What one skill, if you could develop? Well, if you're a speaker, what would that be? To increase your vocabulary? To improve your enunciation, to improve your projection. If you're an athlete, to become more flexible or faster, to become stronger. What one skill, if you developed it and did it in an excellent fashion, would help you the most in your career? If you're a teacher, your ability to do research. What one skill? Well, this is where you need to put the X in your personal and professional life. This is what you need to think and talk about most of the time. This is what you need to dedicate yourself to accomplishing. Nothing will help you fulfill your vision and achieve your goals faster than becoming excellent at the most important thing that you could possibly do in your work. And most of you always know what that is. I remember when I was talking with Brian Tracy about this, he would always, you know, use the word almost. You know what? But when I would talk to him about that, the truth is, you always know what it is. It's like every person who has a skill, who has a talent, knows they have it. Fabulous, isn't that true? That you know you have a talent?
I do.
Now, you know, like, you know you can sing, right?
I do.
Now, you were a famous singer in Russia, and you actually came to America by being part of a singing group, correct?
That's correct. That's true.
Now, how old were you when you first knew you could sing?
I was about 5 years old, probably.
Now, did someone tell you, or did you just know it?
No, I don't think anyone can know about talent unless it's noticed or someone can tell you. I was performing in front of a big group of people, and they recognized that I can sing. I got rhythm, I got music.
Now, how old were you when you realized you could sing, when you were aware of it?
When I decided that it would be a profession of my life, I was 15.
Yes, but I want to know, when did you first have that awareness and knowledge inside of you that you could sing?
I think I was 5. I knew I could do it.
You knew you could do it. See, I think everyone knows what it is. They always know they have a talent. People who can write know they have a talent to write. People who can sing know they have a talent to sing. Whatever your most important desired ability is, your desired skill is, set it as a goal. Write it down. Make a plan. Work on it every day. You know, a week, a month, a year from now, you'll look around you, you'll look back, and you'll be absolutely amazed at the amount of progress you've made in your life, in your career. Okay. All right. Number 4. Eric, can you believe this? We're going to actually do 2 today. This is just amazing. The 4th attitude you need to develop to become that optimistic person that all winners are, to develop that outstanding personality, result orientation. Successful people think constantly about how things are going to work out. They think constantly about the results that are expected of them. They are constantly writing and planning and setting priorities on their most important activities. They think about what's expected of them. You see it all the time. Successful people are always talking about, well, people, this is what's expected of me. And they're always thinking about the things that are expected of them. They want to live up to those. So I believe that successful people are result oriented. Result orientation is a critical part of success. You need to make a list of everything you need to do before you start. Before you start any activity, any goal, you organize your list by value. You select the most important thing that you could possibly do, and then concentrate single-mindedly on accomplishing that one thing. You persevere without diversion or distraction until you have finished it. Result orientation goes hand in hand with high performance. Result orientation goes hand in hand with high production. Result orientation goes hand in hand with high output. You know what? Result orientation is based on your asking and answering the following 4 questions over and over and over and over. What are my highest value activities? I only like to do things that only I can do. I can simplify my life by only doing things I can do. If I spend my time doing things that someone who works for me can do, that's not the highest value use of my time. What are the things that you do that contribute the greatest value to your work? If you're not sure, make a list of all the things that you do. And then sit down and take a look at them, or discuss them with your coworkers. Discuss them with your boss. You know, you must be absolutely clear about the most important results that are expected of you. Remember, the very worst use of your time is to be really, really good at doing something that doesn't need to get done. A lot of people spend their time getting better and better at stuff that they don't need, until they're finally experts at something that doesn't need to be done at all. And that's wasting time. Number 2, Now, if we're going to become result-oriented, we need to find out, what are my key result areas? What are the results that you absolutely positively have to get in an excellent fashion to fulfill your job responsibilities well? There are seldom more than, say, 3 to 5 in any job. Your first responsibility is to identify these key areas and then set the area of excellence in each one of these result areas. After that, it's very simple. You simply dedicate yourself to working every day to meet those standards. Those standards of excellence. Anyone can be average. Anyone can be okay. Natasha, you probably know from spending time around me that I want to do everything that I do in an excellent fashion.
That's absolutely true.
I want to do everything I do because we have a choice in how you do it. You can either do it really, really well, or you can do it in a mediocre fashion. And mediocrity doesn't serve anyone. Great grandma always said to me, if the only way you can do it is in a mediocre or only a halfway fashion, there's no need for you to do it at all. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. If it's worth doing well, it's worth doing right now. So I think you need to establish doing these key result areas in an excellent fashion. Okay, now, after you've set your first responsibility and identified your key results and set your standards, you can then dedicate yourself to working every day to meet those standards. I think this, what gets measured gets done. If you can measure it, you can do it. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. If I'm telling you right now, gang, if you cannot measure it, you don't get what you expect, you get what you inspect. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. Number three, in my job or in my area of excellence or in my area the area of my life that I'm looking to expand upon, what is it that I can do? And if I do it well, will make a real difference to my life or to my company? There is only one answer to this question at any given time. There is a job that you and only you can do. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. That's a big rock. It's got to be done first. No one else can do it for you. But if you do it and you do it well, it can make a significant contribution to your company and your career and to your life. What is that? That's number one. You got to do first things first. First things first, gang. A lot of people like to put off first things because they're usually difficult. I once did a speech, Natasha, I'm not sure where I was, whether it was in Seattle or Minneapolis, but it was in one of those cold weather cities, I remember. And I was talking about this very, very subject. What can I and only I do? And if I do it well, will make a real difference in my company or in my life. And I was then, since I was talking to so many business people, Eric, I was talking more about companies than I was about just the individual's life. Here on the Power Hour, I'm talking about both. I'm talking about you and I personally. I'm talking about us collectively. I'm talking about your companies in general. So I had them write on two pieces of paper. On one piece of paper under their left hand, I want them to write down all the things about their job that was difficult, hard, they didn't like to do. Under the right hand on a piece of paper, all the things about their job that they liked, that was fun, it's easy to do. Now I want you to examine both sheets of paper, and I want you to find out which of those sheets of paper bring the most good to your company, to your job. And I want you to hold that hand up. Well over 90% of the hands that were up were left hands. Yep, that's exactly right. All of the things that brought the most were the things that were difficult, the things that were hard. In other words, they were number one things. They were first things. As I said, if you don't do it, it won't get done. No one else can do it for you. But if you do it, and you do it when it should get done, and you do it well, it will make a significant contribution to your life and to your career and to your company. In Taekwondo, where all of this comes from. We have a saying, discipline means doing what you should do, when you should do it, whether you like it or not. What you should do, when you should do it, whether you like it or not. Now, a lot of people do what they should do, but they don't do it when they should do it. And that's what I'm talking about. You got to do what you're supposed to do when you should do it, because all success is time dated. You got to get it done when you're supposed to do it. Now, some people don't do what they're supposed to do. They don't have a chance. And now, of course, the third part of it is whether you like it or not. And some people will do it. They may even do it when they should do it, but they've got a bad attitude about it. They're shrugging their shoulders. They're rolling their eyes. Their body language is bad. It's not going to have a good outcome. You got to do it when you should do it, whether you like it or not, with a smile on your face. That makes the big difference. And that makes a significant difference to your life and to your company. Number four. Okay. What is the most valuable use of my time? Now, this is very similar to number three, but I think this is probably the most important question in time management. You should ask and answer this question every few hours, every day. What's the most valuable use of my time right now? And if you aren't doing that right now, then what else are you doing? What else is more valuable than that? Why aren't you doing it? So that was my only question. What is the most valuable use of my time right now? And if you're not doing it, why not? That's the most important question. You should ask it every few hours. What's the most valuable use of your time right now? Asking and answering that question is the key to peak performance at all times. Whatever your answer is to this question, be sure that you're working on that task. Make sure you're working on it. Compare with this task. Everything else, relatively speaking, is a waste of time. If you're not working on this, relatively speaking, everything else is a waste of time. Now, in the final analysis of everything we've talked about so far, getting results is everything. That's what you want. Bottom line. The quality and quantity of your results determine the quality and quantity of your resort, of your rewards. You know, if you're going to be a successful person, this whole process of being successful, of being a winner, it requires that you continually put an X, that you concentrate on that one activity, that one task, that is more valuable and more important than any other. And you need to be working on that all the time. When you can discipline yourself to work single-mindedly on that one task until it's complete, when you can do that, you have then taken a huge step to creating permanent peak performance. PPP. That is amazing. That's amazing. Wow. Look, where's the time gone? It is now 54 minutes past the hour. It's amazing. Now, this is my clock, and I can't complain about anybody else here. This is my clock. Clock on the wall. Hey, gang, you're listening to Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. We meet every Thursday here at 5 o'clock. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you guys. Hey, listen, I hope you guys can send me some emails this week to make sure, if nothing else, that we didn't have any problems with the second half of our show. As you probably noticed, rather than taking a break at the bottom of the hour, we went straight through this week. We went straight through because I'm thinking that maybe something happened. Maybe we had some technical problems when we stopped at the bottom half. So, and while we worked those out, we wanted to continue and to bring you a product on the Power Hour online. So we're going to continue to do that and hopefully get back to taking a break at the bottom of the hour. our website address is www.macnewton.com. On our website, you can pick up copies of A Path to Power, which was my very first book. Also, The D Factor. It was really amazing because I was introduced at this speech I did last Friday.
That was fun.
That was really funny. You know, by Tom Ambrose, who is I think the director of public relations or community affairs with the Phoenix Suns. And he was introducing me and he says, well, Mac's second book was called The D Factor. And he said, "Oh, it's very obvious, Mac, that that you have not given a copy of that book to Mike D'Antoni." All I could go was, "Wow, Eric, wow, that was a dig, wasn't it? The D factor, like defense. Well, anyway, he was getting a dig into the coach who's no longer here. Well, the D factor is not about defense. It's about doing things differently. And that's exactly what we're about here. Figuring out how you can do things differently and take charge of your life. Take charge of it. Yes. Put your foot on the accelerator pedal of your life to say, you know what? I have an area of dissatisfaction, and that area of dissatisfaction is what I've been doing over the last 5 or 10 years. And until you're really dissatisfied with something, you're not going to make any change. If you say, "Well, how you doing?" "Well, I'm doing all right. You know, it's okay." "Well, you know what? I wasn't doing okay. I was doing lousy. I was doing lousy, and I didn't want to go on like that anymore." Let me hear you say the same thing. You know, do you want to go on exactly the way you are right now for the rest of your life? Well, do you or don't you? I mean, just as you are, you want to just go just like you are the rest of your life? I didn't think so. So you know what that means? It's time for a change. It's time to do things differently. It's time to do things differently. We don't want to keep going on doing the same old stuff. Next week, we're going to pick up exactly where we left off, and we're going to talk about the fifth attitude that's necessary to build a winning perspective on your life and your business. In other words, for optimism and high performance, we're going to start off right there. And we're also going to talk about we're going to have one little segment, and we're going to do it every week, Eric, where I'm going to give guys, since it's starting around the first of the week, first of the year, and people are going to be getting into maybe getting in shape and starting to eat right. So, Natasha?
Yes.
I know normally we have our little fashion segment with you before the show. We didn't do it today, but maybe you can help us with our nutrition segment every week, okay? Maybe we'll start offering maybe a menu or some information on the 3-2 eating plan and some helpful hints for people to start the new year off right. What do you think about that idea?
I think that's a great idea.
Would you like to help us with that?
Absolutely. I would love to.
Now, how about if we use you right here on the Power Hour as an example of keeping your weight right? Suppose we weighed you in right here on the Power Hour every week. Would you like that?
I don't mind. I'm in a great shape.
Ooh.
I'm not going to lose any weight. I suppose I've been in this shape for a year and I'm happy. But as you know, I did great progress with my body.
Oh, I had no doubt about that. But what we're going to work on that. We're going to just give you more lean muscle mass and work on that body fat. What do you think about that?
Okay,
there you go. We got a commitment right here. Eric, you heard it, right? That's exactly what we're going to do. So we're going to start off the new year by giving people ideas and helpful hints on how to get into a healthful regimen of exercise and eating. Good idea?
Great idea. But first I want to eat my chocolate pie, and then we'll start.
Well, you know what? Chocolate pie even has a place on a healthy eating plan as well. As great grandma used to always say to me, everything in moderation. Well, gang, the clock on the wall says it's time to say goodbye. And as usual, I always enjoy this because I'm saying stuff that I want to hear. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show today. But as we always do at the end, I want to remind you to be true to yourselves. And by that, I mean where your words and your behaviors match. Great grandma always said to me, "Hey, boy." And when she said "boy," I knew I was in trouble. When she said "Mackie," I was okay. "Mackie, what you're doing is making so much noise, I can't hear a word you're saying." That means that what you're saying and what you're doing are not the same thing. Okay? So let your words and behaviors match. And when you do that, you're being true to you. Okay? Now, I also want to give out a thanks and a shout out to my old friend Bob Adlock. Now, Bob Adlock is the guy who got us started with Cox Cable way back around about 2001, doing the Power Hour on the air. And as you can hear a little Aretha Franklin in the background, you know that we've got less than a minute. And I also want to thank Pat McMahon. And he's a veteran of this radio business, and he always encouraged me and will be my friend forever. John Cannon up in the San Francisco Bay Area. JC, my running buddy. And, of course, the fabulous Natasha here in studio. And, of course, Eric. Eric Stayline, who is the engineer behind the glass, making everything happen. Eric, thanks again, and enjoy your turkey dinner tonight, okay?
Oh, yeah, you too.
No, don't go too crazy on that chocolate pie. Like, no. We know the fabulous Natasha
right.
is going to... Are you eat the whole thing, baby?
No.
Okay, just...
Not that bad.
Okay, what do we got there? We got on our last 10 seconds. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. They call me the Mac Daddy, and I always got to say, peace. The Mac Daddy is out.